Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
What it do?
Allergy season.
True.
That's what it do. And it's not been kind to me today. I was outside, doing work outside, and it is not that time of year. Apparently, no. It's not the Flyers' time of year either.
That is also true.
The Sixers are in the play-in tournament, and they're playing the Heat, which, you know, as is the nature of Philadelphia fan psyche,
it's over. If we've learned anything.
Well, if they lose that, then they have to play the winner of the 9-10.
Yeah.
Which is the Bulls and the Hawks.
Yeah.
Then it's over.
Yeah.
And then
if they win that, they play the Celtics.
And if they win against the Heat, they play the Knicks.
Right.
So.
It's over.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
We're joking, of course, but.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Should be a fun one. They're, you know, Sixers are at home, which is nice. Everyone should be back healthy.
Except Robert Covington. Apparently he's
out the whole year. Yeah, which I don't know what his injury is. Like, I've heard nothing on Robert Covington. I'm sure people know what is up with him, but I don't. So, other than him, I think everyone should be healthy, barring potentially D'Anthony Melton, but I think he should play as well. Terry Rozier is out for the Heat, which is cool, I guess. So, yeah.
That's it. It's always great. Everything's great. Right?
Everything's great. Yeah. Everything's great. Flyers didn't make the playoffs. You know, Sixers got the play-in despite winning their last 8 in a row. You know, Phillies are weird right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the draft is...
I mean, Aaron Nola did go for 8.
Aaron Nola went for 8, and as we record this, we're recording this kind of late on Tuesday, Ranger Suarez had a complete game shutout.
Nice.
So...
I've been traveling around all day, which is why we're recording so late. So
yeah.
Forgive me for not being aware of that.
But that also did happen today, which is cool. The Phillies won 5-0. And yeah. So, but again, they're still kind of just weird at the moment. Like, Harper had a home run tonight. That's cool. You know, JT had a home run as well.
Wow, 8 strikeouts and 1 walk.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Did give up 7 hits, but hey. Yeah. That's a really good outing for Ranger, man. After a pretty solid outing before that, so that's nice to see.
We'll get into all that then in the bulk of the podcast. But guess what week it is?
Yeah.
Chip
it's time.
Draft. Chip mock.
Chip it's time.
Mocking. He's been mocking.
Yeah, I say this every year. I have an unhealthy obsession with the NFL draft. And yeah, I wrote out my own mock. Now, I am not a expert on these things by any means of the imagination. But I like to, you know, give my opinions here and there, and you know, I tend to learn about some of these guys, a lot of these guys, as the draft gets closer and closer. So I know a little bit, but again, I'm not saying I'm an expert by any means. But yeah, it's just fun. And, I am extremely excited for the draft.
So we can't wait to hear your total expert opinion.
Totally.
With that, I got nothing left. What you say, Chippe?
Let's cue the Racky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production, enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in the huddle and talk some mock draft birds, baby.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
All right. You're good to go. With the first overall pick in the I'm old NFL draft. I'm sorry, 2024 NFL draft.
Man. Weird.
The Chicago Bears select.
They select. I mean, it's pretty obvious. They select Caleb Williams.
Quarterback. Dude, that's such a shock. Who would have ever guessed that?
What a shock. I know. Thrown out, you know. But, yeah, no, that's just it's what's going to happen. Caleb Williams is the number one pick, will be the number one pick next Thursday. It's pretty much set in stone at this point. Not really much to say there. Traded Justin Fields. Obviously, a needed quarterback. And he will be the pick at number one. I would be extremely surprised if he was not. Number two, Commanders. I hate the Commanders. We hate the Commanders. I think they should take Drake May.
Really?
Yes. In my opinion, Drake May and Caleb Williams are 1A, 1B quarterbacks in this draft. I love Drake May. I think he's going to be a stud. However,
okay.
Everything I've seen and everything I've heard, they have the Commanders going Jaden Daniels, and I went with Jaden Daniels in this mock. It makes sense coach-wise. They brought in Cliff Kingsbury to be the OC. You know, he's worked with guys of similar play style to Jaden Daniels. And it does make sense. And I'm not saying I don't like Jaden Daniels. I'm just saying I think Drake May right now is the better quarterback prospect. But that doesn't mean he'll go number two. So I've seen a lot more mocks and, you know, experts talk about Jaden Daniels going number two. So that's what I have here. But I could also see Drake May going at number two to the Commanders, which I think obviously I don't want to happen because I think Drake May is a better player. But don't be surprised if he goes two here. Which leads the Patriots at number three going Drake May in this mock. Again, if Drake May goes number two, I could obviously see them going Jaden Daniels. I can see them trading down. I can see them taking Marvin Harrison at number three. You know, a lot of people are making the case the Patriots roster is not that good yet, so taking quarterbacks kind of a waste. I disagree. I think you're in the top three in a draft. How many times are you going to be in the top three? You know, might as well get your quarterback now. You can fill out the roster a little bit later. So three quarterbacks go top three. Now, number four, I don't have any trades in this mock, but I think this is where you definitely could see a team like the Vikings trade up to number four. The Vikings traded with the Texans to get the 23rd overall pick, and they also have the 11th overall pick. Now, this could definitely be a spot where they trade up for a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy. Again, I don't have trades here, but that very well could happen. So if the Cardinals do stick a pick, obviously I have them going Marvin Harrison. Don't have, you know, Hollywood Brown anymore. Don't have Rondell Moore anymore. You know, you're looking at Michael Wilson as your number one receiver. Not great. Marvin Harrison, absolute game changer, gives Kyler Murray a legitimate number one target. And honestly, Marvin Harrison is, as soon as he gets drafted, he's probably a top 20 receiver in the league. So number five. Chargers. I have them going Malik Nabers, receiver out of LSU. Kind of an easy one. Could also be tackle, but I have them going receiver. Obviously losing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is a big hurt to them. Their number one right now is Joshua Palmer. Not great. You drafted Quentin Johnson in the first round last year, but you know, Malik Nabers has number one wide receiver written all over him. So pretty easy pick there. Six, Giants. I have them going Roma Dunze, receiver out of Washington. Three straight receivers. Giants still have a bunch of holes, but they don't really have a number one receiver. And I think, you know, they're still going to rock with Daniel Jones. If you're going to rock with Daniel Jones, get him a number one target. And that's Roma Dunze for me.
Okay.
Number seven. And if you have anything to say, please just hop in.
I'm just letting you cook. The chef's cooking right now.
I appreciate that.
If there's something that I fully am like, hold on, I will let you know.
Appreciate that. Number seven, Titans. I have them going Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. You know, pretty, again, pretty simple here. Really big need on the offensive line, especially a tackle, left and right. Joe Alt immediately comes in and is your everyday left tackle for the future. Pretty simple pick there. Number eight, Falcons. I think this really starts the draft. You know, not really starts the draft, in my opinion, but this is the first pick where it's not, you know, it's not as obvious. In this mock, I see the Falcons trading down. But, again, no trades. So I had them going Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama. Raheem Morris comes in to be your head coach. Obviously, defensive mind. He runs a 3-4 defense. Guess who's a 3-4 defensive end? Or a 3-4 outside linebacker? Dallas Turner. To me, you know, there's three really top-tier edge rushers this draft. Dallas Turner is one of them. Jared versus the other. And Leiatu Latu is the other one. So I have them going Dallas Turner here. And number nine to the Bears, I have them going next pick, Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. You know, obviously Bears go number one with Caleb Williams. Could be receiver here, but the top three are already off the board. You know, there's still a lot of good ones down the board. So, you know, you get an edge rusher to come in to pair with Montez Sweat on the other side. Kind of a nice fit there. Gives you two really solid edge rushers for the future. Number 10, I have the Jets going Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is arguably a top five talent in this draft. It's tough because he's a tight end. He's a really, really good player. Jets need more weapons. Again, could be a receiver here, but, you know, getting a top five talent at number 10, it's really good value for the Jets. Gives Aaron Rodgers a really nice safety blanket in Brock Bowers. Is a really great pass catcher, really good blocker as well. Not against, you know, defensive ends, but you know, like corners, safeties, linebackers, even he's a good blocker. Just gives Aaron Rodgers a safety blanket, something he's not really used to having. And I think he you know, fits nicely into the Jets offense, who doesn't really have that number one tight end option. So I think it's a nice fit there. Number 11, the Vikings. Again, very well could trade up, but I have them sticking and picking. And J.J. McCarthy here falls to them at number 11.
Now you're getting interesting.
Yeah. I do think J.J. McCarthy is a first-round pick. You know, I have mixed feelings on J.J. McCarthy. You know, the big thing that he makes his case for is he's a winner. And, you know, that's it's something to be said, I guess. But, you know, a lot of problems people have with J.J. McCarthy is he wasn't asked to throw a ton at Michigan. They ran the ball a ton. So he wasn't really asked to throw the ball down the field, you know, make decisions. It was hand the ball off, and that's it. Can J.J. McCarthy develop into a good quarterback? Absolutely he can. But, yeah, I just think, you know, with the Vikings, they don't have – if they don't go quarterback, their option is Sam Darnold, I believe. So not great. You know, they also have the added pressure of Justin Jefferson has to get re-signed eventually. And – or did he already get re-signed? I don't think he did.
No, he is still a free agent pending.
Yeah, so – you know, you gotta.
After the season, obviously.
After the season, yeah. So you gotta get him a quarterback who he's willing to stay there long term with. So the Vikings are in a tough spot. Again, they traded with the Texans to get number 23. They already had 11. I think they definitely tried to package those along with other picks to move up to four and potentially get McCarthy there. There's two reasons why. You know, some people may be new to the draft. There's two reasons why you should trade up for a quarterback. One is you have teams after number four, a team like the Giants definitely could take quarterback, who could take J.J. McCarthy. Another reason is teams behind you, teams like the Broncos, the Raiders, the Saints even, could trade ahead of you and take J.J. McCarthy. So that's why you see a lot of teams trade up for quarterbacks into the top three, top five, whatever. And I think that's why the Vikings should do it. They have the ammunition for it. I think they should. They're in a tough spot. I'm not the biggest J.J. McCarthy fan, but he could be developed into a solid quarterback. But again, no trades. He falls to them here at 11. Number 12, the Broncos. Again, in a weird spot. This also could be quarterback. You know, I'm not big on Bo Nix. I'm not big on Michael Penix. I think those are the other two quarterbacks who potentially could be first rounders for teams that are desperate enough. But I think you can get them in the second round. So I have them going Byron Murphy here, the defensive tackle out of Texas. You know, Broncos recently have taken a lot of Texas players. not taken, but like they've signed a bunch of Texas players. And they need help on the interior of the defensive line. And this year's draft is not really that stacked on defensive linemen, specifically at defensive tackle. Byron Murphy, in my opinion, is the best in the draft. They need help there. Makes a ton of sense. Raiders at 13. I've been going to Lisa Fuonga, tackle out of Oregon State. Could be defense here. They signed Antonio Pierce to be their head coach. He was the interim last year. But they need help in the offensive line pretty badly. They lost Jermaine Illuminor to the Giants. Have a pretty big hole at right tackle. Talisa Fuonga fits that well. He could also slide inside to play guard as well. Number 14, Saints. I have them going Olu Fashanu from Penn State, offensive tackle. Again, kind of same deal here. They need help on the offensive line, specifically at left tackle. Fashanu is arguably the best left tackle in this draft. Some people think that. I think a lot of people think Joe Alt, though. But yeah, Fashanu was really good pass protector at Penn State. Kind of had a somewhat down year this past year, but still was very solid. And I think he fits in nicely with the Saints. Colts at 15. I have them going Brian Thomas Jr., receiver out of LSU. What I think Colts in the draft, I think athlete, freak athletes. And Brian Thomas Jr. is that. 6'4", about 200 pounds, ran a 4.3 40. Insane at that size. Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, loves freak athletes. Brian Thomas is that. Could also be corner here. Could also just be defense in general. But I think when you know, have the opportunity to pair Brian Thomas Jr. with Michael Pittman and Josh Downs, I think that's a really good three for Anthony Richardson going forward. And again, Chris Ballard loves those freak athletes. So kind of a nice fit there. Seahawks at 16. I have them going Troy Faatanu, O-lineman out of Washington. Definitely could stick at tackle, but I think the Seahawks are pretty much set there with Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas. So he's going to slide in to play guard for them. Seahawks really need interior offensive line. They lost Damian Lewis to free agency, but I think even if they brought him back, I still think you could go guard here, and that's what they go with Troy Faatanu. Number 17, the Jaguars. I have them going Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. Quinyon Mitchell is probably my favorite cornerback in this draft. CB1 for me. Again, another freak athlete, had a phenomenal combine. You know, people are going to be turned off that he played for Toledo. Don't really care. At the Senior Bowl, he was phenomenal. Again, and put on a show at the combine. So Jaguars need cornerback depth. Really need, a starter at cornerback. So Quinyon Mitchell is the pick for me there. Number 18, Bengals. I have them going J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. They brought in Trent Brown to play right tackle for them for this year. I think J.C. Latham kind of goes – could play guard as well, could start at guard right away, and then after this year kind of slides over to play tackle for them and is their long-term solution at right tackle. Again, need more offensive line depth there in general, so I think it's a good pick for them. Number 19, I have the Rams going Leiatu Latu, edge out of UCLA. Leiatu Latu is an interesting case. I think he is arguably the best edge in his class, but injuries are going to play a factor. He had to medically retire from football, and he then transferred to UCLA where they cleared him to play, and he was really, really good. So, you know, the injury is going to scare some teams away. I think that's why he's going to fall in my mock and could fall in the draft as well in real life. But again, really, really good player. And again, is up there in my top tier of edge players in this draft. So the Rams get a good one.
Okay.
Number 20, the Steelers. I have them going Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia. You're starting to see more of these offensive linemen go. Steelers need more help on the offensive line. Drafted Broderick Jones last year out of Georgia. teams him back up with his teammate at Georgia here in Amarius Mims. You know, you put Broderick Jones at left tackle, put Amarius Mims at right tackle, and those are your bookend tackles for the future. Could also be interior offensive line as well, but they just need help all over the offensive line. So I think that's a cool storyline, kind of putting old teammates together there. So that should be a good pick for them. Really a huge, huge dude, absolute freak. You know, kind of tore it up at the combine as well. You know, freak athlete, huge dude. So that should be a good fit there. Dolphins at 21. I have them going Jerzon Johnny Newton, defensive tackle at Illinois. Like I said, you know, the defensive tackle class this year is not great. But I think if you lose Christian Wilkins, you know, it's you have a huge hole there now. And I think Jerzon Newton kind of could replace Christian Wilkins. I'm not saying right away, but he could eventually become to that level. Kind of smaller than Christian Wilkins, but offers a ton of pass rush. And that, you know, that fills a hole. That fills a hole for them. Also could be offensive line for them as well here, but you know, kind of plugs a big hole left by Christian Wilkins leaving in free agency. Well, and now the big one. Now the big one, the Birds. Go Eagles. I've been going Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama.
Okay.
He is arguably CB1 for me. I think I would edge Quinyon Mitchell over him just a tad. But I love Terrion Arnold, man. I think he's just solid across the board. You know, not as freaky of an athlete as Quinyon Mitchell, but still just, you know, still a really good one. You know, didn't run in the 4.3s like Quinyon Mitchell did, but, you know, I don't care. Just a solid player. Very, very solid. You know, I love the idea of him being CB2 behind Darius Slay. I think that would be fantastic. I think you'd learn a lot from Darius Slay as well. But, yeah, I would love, if this were to happen, I love Terrion Arnold. I could also see this being offensive line, specifically tackle. I could also see this being edge as well. If a guy like Leiatu Latu falls to them at 22, this could definitely be a spot for him. If a guy like Amarius Mims or J.C. Latham falls to them here at 22, that could also be them here. So, you know, a few different options. But I think you have to address the secondary. It was historically bad last year. And, you know, you get arguably CB1 in the class at 22. I think it's phenomenal value.
Okay.
So, number 23, Vikings. Again, this could be someone else here if they trade up. But if they stick and pick here at 23, I have them going Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. Again, if they stick and pick, they really do need a cornerback. You know, their cornerback room is not great. So I think Nate Wiggins here would be a nice fit. 24, Cowboys. I have them going Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. Cowboys need help on the offensive line, period. They lost Tyron Smith, left tackle. They lost Tyler Biadasz, center. And they, you know, even if they didn't lose those guys, they still could have taken offensive line. So they get a starting center here. And Jackson Powers Johnson, probably the best center in the class. Could be a tackle as well. I really don't see another position they could take. It's going to be offensive line, in my opinion. And they get the best center in the draft. Number 25, I have the Packers going Cooper DeJean, corner slash safety DB out of Iowa.
And that's who I thought you were going to say the Eagles would take in this draft. That's where I was kind of thrown off.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see where he ended up in your mock before I said anything. That's why I was kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I definitely think that they could end up taking him just because of the versatility to move him into a safety slot as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like the player a ton. I really do. People are like, I mean, you know, people are going to say, oh, he's white. Doesn't matter. Honestly, he could play outside corner for me. He probably won't in the league. Definitely could, but I see him more of as a slot corner slash safety, you know, nickel kind of like Brian Branch, if you guys watched the Lions last year, that type of role. Here's the problem with Cooper DeJean. He does kind of the same thing as CJ Gardner-Johnson for me. So, you know, you bring Gardner-Johnson back, again, wouldn't be mad here if they go Cooper Gene. Really wouldn't. I just think he kind of offers you the same versatility that C.J. Gardner-Johnson brings. And I think if you have the opportunity to go for someone like Terrion Arnold, who is a boundary corner, you know, not going to play in the slot, not going to be safety, will be a boundary corner. I think you have to go for that instead of the more versatile guy, because you already have C.J. Gardner-Johnson for that role. And you really just do need an outside corner. So, you know, again, wouldn't be mad at Cooper DeJean. I think he's a really great player. Just the, you know, the fit kind of doesn't really make sense for him. But I've seen plenty of mock drafts where he does go to the Eagles. So, again, wouldn't be mad. Number 26, the Buccaneers. I have them going Chop Robinson, edge out of Penn State. Chop Robinson, man, he's a freak athlete, man. Buccaneers really need help on the edge. They lost Shaq Barrett. Joe Tryon Chuinka really hasn't worked out. First round pick from a couple years ago. And man, if you can develop Chop Robinson, man, you're gonna have a really, really, really good player. Again, really just a freak athlete, but is kind of raw when it comes to a pass rush plan. Kind of just, you know, does whatever he wants. But again, if you can develop him, you're going to have a really good player. Number 27, Cardinals. I have them going Darius Robinson, defensive lineman, Missouri. He's kind of a tweener. He is like 6'4", 6'5", 290. You know, you're typically, he would probably be a 3-4 defensive end, ideally. But could be a 4-3 defensive tackle as well. Just a really solid player. One of these guys that lit it up at the Senior Bowl. Also had a nice combine as well. So, yeah, Cardinals just need help pretty much everywhere. And you're seeing a lot of teams kind of build through the trenches like the Eagles have done recently. And this guy, you know, definitely will help with that. So that's a good fit there. Number 28, the Bills. I have them going Adonai Mitchell, receiver out of Texas. Kind of an easy pick. You know, they lost Stephon Diggs, lost Gabe Davis. Even if they didn't trade Stephon Diggs, I still think they probably would have gone receiver here in the first round. But now that you lose Stephon Diggs, you need to give Josh Allen weapons. And Adonai Mitchell has wide receiver one potential. So, again, another one of these guys. I mean, this guy's 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", runs a 4.3 at the combine. Just insane stuff. And another one of these freak athletes, but was also just a really good college player. So, got to give Josh Allen more weapons. Number 29, Lions. I think going Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner out of Alabama. I could see this going a number of ways. I think the Lions roster is really good. I think they need more help in the secondary, especially at boundary corner. And Kool-Aid McKinstry is the best available to me. This could also be a defensive lineman. Could also be an offensive lineman, potentially. But I think they just need more help in the secondary. And Kool-Aid McKinstry could be CB1 potentially. I see him more as a CB2 though, but just offers you, you know, it just gives you more depth in the secondary, which I think the Lions could use. Number 30, I have the Ravens going Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Really big need on the offensive line, especially at right tackle. You have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. He gets hurt every year, but if he can stay healthy, he's a really good tackle. You lose Morgan Moses at right tackle. Tyler Guyton would fit right in there. So they have a pretty big need. Could also be in the secondary as well, but after losing Morgan Moses, I think you have to go offensive line here. And Tyler Guyton's a good one. So 49ers to 31, I have them going Graham Barton, offensive lineman out of Duke. Played everywhere on the offensive line at Duke, but profiles as probably a guard/center in the league. And the 49ers could use one of those. Have Trent Williams at tackle, obviously, at left tackle. But other than that, you know, the 49ers offensive line isn't great. Graham Barton can really play anywhere. So it just gives you a lot of versatility. And he should be a good player. And then to wrap it up, I have the Chiefs at number 32 going Ladd McConkey, receiver out of Georgia. You know, even before this, all this Rashee Rice stuff, they probably could have went receiver, but now that all this stuff is happening, don't know what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. You know, it's, there's a bunch of stuff coming out. So we'll see what happens there, but I have them going Ladd McConkey here. Kind of feels like a chief in my opinion. Another one of these, you know, another one of these white guys, you know, just at a position where you don't think, of white guys, but doesn't play like a white guy, honestly. You know, a really good route runner, has really great speed. You know, a lot of people think of him as a slot. I think he can play on the outside. So, you know, I really like Ladd McConkey. I think he can easily get into the first round, and I have him going here at 32, and that's it. That's the draft. That's the first round.
The first round has been concluded. How do you feel about it?
I feel good. I feel good. I mean, obviously, if this is how it went, I would be happy with Terrion Arnold going to the Eagles. And but of course, the draft is crazy, and there will be trades. Again, I don't do trades because it would just be a lot more hectic. But there will be trades in the actual draft. Again, don't be surprised if the Vikings move up, or you know, other teams for a specific player that they really like. I mean, you know, look at the Eagles last year with Jalen Carter. They moved up, you know, only one spot, but still, you know, nobody expected them to do that. So trades are going to happen, and that's what makes the draft so much more fun.
Amen. That's why the draft is sick. I can't wait to watch.
I love it.
Well, moving on. Your next one's next week, and then the right before the big day, right?
Yeah, I might have another one pre-draft next week. We'll see. You know, a lot of things could change between there. So
yeah,
now
the
and
man
then,
who's
so.
Obsessed with the draft is going to say maybe. Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. We'll see about the Sixers. It's over.
It was a good run. Good run.
Well, since they're going to lose in the play-in, I guess we have to keep recording.
That is true. That is the pack we made. Had to be second round.
Dude, that's wild.
Yeah.
We make that, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to one-up you. Like, we're not even going to lose in the first round. We're going to lose in the play-in.
Yeah. No, I really
– we're joking, obviously, but
– yeah, I think they – you know, it's not nothing set in stone, obviously, but it should be a good game. I really think they absolutely could win this game. You know, but we'll see what happens. I don't really want to say like, oh, we're going to win. We're going to play the Knicks. Like, cause like if we say that and it doesn't happen, then this is all a moot point. So we'll see what happens. If they play the Knicks, they have a shot. If they play the Celtics, I think their shot that they are probably going to lose. So that's just how it is for me, but they have to get past the Heat first.
Well, it's either the Knicks or the Celtics or nothing.
Or go home, yeah.
Or Cancun, as they say.
Indeed.
So indeed. We'll see how that goes. I mean, I can't believe they went on an 8-game win streak and still didn't
get. Yeah. Picked. Yeah. All they needed was the Bucks to beat the Magic, and they would have been out of it.
Doc did that on purpose.
Doc had to spite us, so we're in there.
He's doing his best. 19-20 record since he took over. Great guy. Great guy. With a team that was well over 500 when he took it over.
Throw that out there. Yep. They were 30-13.
Yep.
And they went 49-30, whatever it is. So
that's impressive.
Good for you, Doc.
Impressively bad, but impressive nonetheless.
Don't know how you have a job still, honestly. I think you were killing it. Not really killing it, but you were doing fine, I guess, as an announcer for ESPN. And then you're like, all right, see you later.
And the Bucks. But the Flyers are out.
What a weird year to look back, huh?
Well, I think they gave a lot of people hope. And, I mean, I don't know why, but I just had this gut feeling, like, relax. Don't get worked up.
Yeah.
Don't get worked up. They said it's a rebuild. Let it happen. And yeah. I was able to just stay calm throughout the whole thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm still upset, but it's like I expected this season to be an absolute dumpster fire, like a huge burning dumpster. And it now it is, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, it's hard to be given hope and then have it taken away yet again. But, yeah, you know, looking back on the season, they fought hard, man. They really did. You know, you can't say that they didn't. And they won a lot more games than a lot of people thought. And, again, they gave the city some hope. You know, obviously didn't end up making the playoffs, but I think, you know, looking to the future, I think it gives this team and this city more hope as well. You know, coming up short now, sure, but I think for the future, you know, people will be looking forward to them coming back next year. You know, that's not something people were expecting going into this offseason, like, oh, we're going to suck. It's going to be more of the same. No, there is light at the end of the tunnel here. For the Flyers, they need to execute and get it done. But definitely not the season that everyone expected. And again, gives this city and these fans something to look forward to. So I think that's something to say.
Until next season. Yeah. And the Phillies.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper had two big hits tonight.
He did.
Maybe he's waking up.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I'll tell you he's not waking up. Nick Castellanos. Yeah. Dude, yeah. He's bad.
I don't know what's going on, man.
I mean, he had the walk-off hit against Pittsburgh and all, but other than that, what has he done? I mean, he's down to like 160. I don't know, man. It's early. It is early, I guess. I don't know. But it does concern me a little bit. You know, I mean, it is nice to see Harper come back a little bit with his big game. Stott starting to play a little bit better. Turner has played a lot better, especially offensively. So you're starting to see some guys come around, but Castellanos does definitely concern me. So, yeah, but the pitching's been better, especially starting pitching. Starting pitching is really good, actually.
Aaron Nola going 8 was good, and that just goes back to his. It is his repertoire at this point. He's either going to be absolutely dominant, or it's going to be one of those days.
And look, dude, I said this before we signed him. I said, if he can just eat innings and if he's good in the playoffs, that's all I care about. So that's what he's done so far. I mean, Zach Wheeler's been good, but he's getting no run support. Ranger Suarez has been really good. Again, had a complete game shutout tonight as we record this. Christopher Sanchez has been okay. You know, nothing great, but not horrible. And Spencer Turnbull's been a nice surprise. With Tywin Walker out. So that's again, starting pitching has been really, really good. And I think the bullpen has kind of settled down recently as well, which is nice.
So just need run support.
Need run support. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You know, some of these games, they're just not scoring runs, man. I mean, you know, even last night's game, they won in extras, but it was 2-1. I mean, you know, nothing against the Rockies, but it's the Rockies. So, you know, had a nice day today, 5-0 win. You know, that was nice to see from Ranger. That was cool to see. And then obviously, again, Harper having a really nice day, which is great to see as well. So just waiting for them to, you know, kind of explode here and kind of, you know, be the team that we know they can be.
And with that, I know we kind of ran through the other sports really quickly, but I have had a day.
Yes.
Chip can attest to that. And it I'm late. Forcing a reach destination. Pulling the emergency brake. We've reached That's our fair. Destination for the day.
That's fair.
I'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to phlsportsnation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. Go to the podcast tab. Go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Spotify there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. We're most likely there. If not, just shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com with any suggestions for different platforms that we can be on. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at the PHL Bandwagon. You can also follow me at PHL Ryan Michaels. You can follow Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. We share weekly polls on Twitter or X. It's never going to change. Going to keep saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't share it on Facebook, though. We don't share our polls on Facebook because their polling system is hot garbage. We do share our episodes there, though, so if you're on there, feel free to check our episodes out. Again, go to the Weg Shop, get your TBW merch, get your hoodies, hats, t-shirts. Summer's coming really quick. It's spring, you know, sun's out, guns out, get your t-shirts. And again, if you see two bearded gentlemen come up to you, it's probably us. Burly yeah. bearded gentlemen. Burly bearded gentlemen.
You need bed rest.
I do need bed rest. A lot of it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you the next stop. Go Birds.
Go Birds.